Welcome to Acorn to Oak with Penny Quayle Pierce and co-host Matthew Donaghy. Within each acorn, there is the DNA that strives to be a mighty oak tree. All it needs to reach its potential for greatness is to be activated. You are the acorn. On this show, we will share with you the tools and guidance you need to grow into the person you are meant to be. And now your host, Penny Quayle Pierce and co-host Matthew Donaghy.
Hi, good evening and welcome to everybody. It's another great show with Acorn to Oak. And I was here early, believe it or not, this evening, and I caught about 2 or 3 minutes of the last show, which was Conflict Rising. And I just wanted to acknowledge those ladies who've just done that show, because although I only caught the last 3 minutes, at Acorn to Oak, whenever we agree with anything, we say ho. And, you know, live your life without regret. Ho. It's never too late. Ho, have I proved that in my life. Maybe the biggest one with that is having a son at the age of 57. So, you know, ho, 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 live your life the way that you're inspired to live it. So thank you for that message, and thank you for being inspiring for me this evening. So we're actually here celebrating the fact that at the weekend, we got to do some stuff off our bucket list. And, you know, as I said in the write-up, you know, those things that niggle at you that go, God, I wish I, you know, that's on my bucket list. And also for me, it was one thing that was definitely not on my bucket list, but we did it anyway. So we called it about, completing 3 impossible tasks, because your conscious mind actually thinks you can't do these things. Your rational mind is telling you the lie that it's impossible. And why would you want to do it anyway? And so those 3 tasks basically was walking across a meter of broken glass. So that was challenge 1. Challenge 2 was actually breaking an arrow, and not a thin arrow, a normal arrow, with your throat in a death lunge, which was the one that I was not particularly enamoured of. And the third one was a firewalk, walking on coals. So I just, for me, it was part of Acorn to Oak's Igniting Your Inner Fire weekend retreat. And the inner team, Team Buffalo, were taking part in these 3 impossible challenges. So I just wanted to hand it over to Matthew a little bit, just for him to say good evening, and also just for him to talk about his take on this.
Yeah, good evening, everybody. It's good to be back. I think for me, it all started a week before the course. So it was arranged, I think, about a month in advance. And I was cool with it. I thought, yeah, do a firewalk. That would be interesting. And then about a week before the course, the story started. And it was around, oh, well, it's fire's going to burn and glass is going to cut. And had all these, like Penny was saying, with the rational mind, it comes up with rationalizations as to why it's either extremely dangerous or you can't do it or it's not possible. A phrase which I used over the weekend, which it just felt so right, is actually, we think things are impossible, but they're not. They're possible, and anything is. And it's only really our minds that tell us they're not possible. And I think some of that is the mind is built to obviously give us information on certain subjects, and it's warning us that there's a danger there. But rather than just warning us that there's a danger there, it goes off down the garden path, as we would say in England, and comes up with a million and one reasons why you shouldn't or can't do it. So that started for me about a week before. And I thought, this is real interesting. My heart's telling me that, yep, go for it, this is going to be amazing, and my head's telling me, run, for want of a better expression. So very much the fire walking, I know people have done it. I've got close friends that have done it. So I had a fair amount of trust within that and could let the stories go. The one for me that was really niggling was the glass, because I thought, well, your head just tells you it's going to be dangerous and you're going to cut your feet. And that's not the case. And very much like Penny was saying with the arrow, this is a proper professional archery arrow, wooden one. And didn't know we were doing this until we arrived, or we were already on retreat. But when the firewalkers, arrangers sort of arrived, we were then told about the arrow. And it was really interesting because I didn't have any time to rationalize it or think about doing it or anything like that. The first feeling that came in was, I'm really not sure about this. So I made an effort to just stand up and just, right, I'll go first. And not let the mind in, not give it any quarter whatsoever. And it was the most fantastic experience, because your mind's telling you one thing and the complete opposite happens. And you realise just how much we do that in not only in our everyday lives, but over the weeks, months and years of our lives, where we'll perhaps put things off. We say we would like to do something, but then we don't follow it up, sort of thing.
I must admit, it was real interesting for me, because I was the workshop leader for the retreat, and I had invited some co-facilitators in, Kelly and Nicola, who were actually running the evening group, which is when we did the three impossible challenges. And I was probably the first person who did the glass walk. And I'm not a small lady, so when I stepped out onto the glass and felt the glass disintegrate with my step as it broke, I was just going, it was interesting what was going on in my mind, and most of it is unrepeatable. But it was SHT as I was walking across the glass, just keep it together. I can do this. And then, of course, before you step out of the glass tray, they brush your feet off, so that actually when you step out onto the floor, you're not carrying any glass with you, that's left in the tray. So it was done incredibly safely. And again, I just wanted to acknowledge Nicola and Kelly. They ran a very tight shop. It was health and safety are us. It was really graceful, the way they presented, and everybody got through all of the challenges. And but for me, when I saw, because Matthew, as he quite rightly said, was the first person up to break the arrow, and they put it in the soft part of your neck. So you're actually holding this against a board, and you step forward, and it's all about stepping with intention. So we had done each done a picture of the intention that we wanted to manifest in our lives, and we were breaking the arrow, was symbolically breaking our resistance or our blocks or our limited thinking to achieving that intention. And I just looked at Matthew doing it first, and I went, well, if I give myself a traumatic tracheostomy, that's what I do. As a leader of the group, You know, it was interesting. My pride came up. You know, I've got to do it. I've got to show these people by example. If I don't show my students and my participants by example, you know, I'm never going to hold my head up again. And all sorts of stories, as Matthew was talking about earlier on. And as I sat and I just thought, I just went deep into myself. And you know, I'm a devotee of Paramahansa Yogananda, so I was chanting to my guru, and I stood up and I did it, and the arrow broke with no problem, you know. And Nikki just said to me afterwards, she said that was just pure determination, and you know, and I don't lack determination in my life, so that was pretty good. So I'm going to hand back to Matthew so that he can talk about those two challenges.
Yeah, I mean, the glass for me was, like I say, it was probably the one that I was least looking forward to before we found out about the arrow. And yeah, it was really interesting how even when you make a decision to do something, you need to almost constantly coach yourself along the way. And sometimes it could just be telling yourself, like, I am safe. This is okay. Because very much like Penny said, it's one thing when you think you have your footing on the glass, but as you transfer your weight from your other foot and it sort of crunches, there is a part of you that thinks, oh no, I'm going to be hurt. But it really is about just keeping that focus and keeping that determination. And when we went to do the firewalk, again, for me, what really struck was the grace and some of the stories that Nicola was talking about when we were doing the fire and the way it was done. It was done in such a mindful way. It's actually a lot easier, I think. And so when we were around the fire and we did a little ceremony beforehand, and let the fire burn, and then it was letting it burn
but
down.
It was real hot, wasn't it, Matthew, though? It was really,
I literally could not believe the heat. I mean, they were explaining it when you're doing a very, like a ceremony, if the intention's pure and everybody's on board, the fire will burn hotter. And my God, it's like you could not stand within 20 foot of it. And we're not talking, it's not a massive, huge fire. It was probably 4 foot round, 4 foot high. But the heat was just absolutely something else. And that's when you knew something special was happening. Or for me, that was when you could almost feel the passion of the people coming from the fire, because everyone was so focused. And we were lucky enough to have two other people join us on the fire walking thing as well. And obviously they're soul friends now. But again, the focus was there within the ceremony. So when you come to do the actual fire walk itself, you have so much focus, and it's pure focus. There aren't stories of, oh, I might burn my feet, or I might do this, I might do that. By this point, you're processing how many times in your life you tell yourself you can't do something. So it's a real, it was a real deep experience, because the stuff we were doing beforehand really opened me up when we were doing it.
Yeah, we did four rounds of firewalk. So there were four different elements that we were actually using. And, you know, as Matthew was saying, the ceremony and everything around it was pure shamanic, you know, giving tobacco to the fire, you know, in recognition of, you know, the four compass points, making sure that we were all going within to walk from our inner warrior. It wasn't hyped. It wasn't people hyping themselves up, which a lot of times firewalking is, where people are hyping themselves up. They even get into the stage where, you know, they're in hysteria and then they walk a fire. This was, you know, and this is why I was very attracted to it. It was an inner firewalk where you just went into your inner warrior. And you knew the strength and the grace that you have within inside you. And then we walked from that space. And, you know, the first one was all about the impact of, that we are having on this planet. And, you know, any, clearing any blocks to being the change the world needs now. And just astonishing, just astonishing. And what was fantastic after we had done the, and the second round was about family and familiar things, not just our families, but our communities, and talking about, you know, obviously humanity as the bigger family. And then the third one was about health and our own personal health and any challenges we were having with that. And then after that, it was the celebration round. And it was all about celebrating the fact that we had pushed through what an awful lot of people would think was impossible. So it, you know, that was the round where we took photographs and had a little bit of a, you know, a little bit of a party of people, you know, not just one person walking the fire. Maybe, you know, I know team, but the inner team Buffalo did a walk through it together, and then friends and family members, because we had a an aunt and a niece there together, so they walked the fire together, and it was just amazing. And not one person had burns, proper burns. No one had proper burns. Yeah, and the next day everybody's feet were back to being 100% healthy. And it was astonishing just even to realise that, I suppose, from my nursing background, you know, fire and you know, non-blisters don't work. But we'll see you after the break.
Conscious connection to a more mindful world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
I'm Kathy Williams, host of Sexy Mom Abundant Life radio show on Thursdays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. On the show, we explore living abundantly in every area of your life. Ways to let go of limiting patterns and beliefs and to step into the flow of creativity and possibility, knowing you are supported by the universe.
We are talking about your life. Ever wonder, is this as good as it gets? No, it could be so much better. At Acorn to Oak, we know you are seeking more happiness, joy, unconditional love, financial freedom, passion, and purpose. Find your unique mojo and live an extraordinary life. Want to know more? Contact us at our website, acorntooak.org.uk.
1 in 3 adults has prediabetes. 1 in 3. That means it could be you, your football buddy, your football buddy, or you, your best man.
your worst man. You, your dog walker, your cat jogger. While one in three adults has prediabetes, with early diagnosis, prediabetes can be reversed. Take the risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
So we're back. Hi. One of the things that I was just thinking about whilst we were on the break was very much about, you know, so you've done these heroic acts of achieving the impossible. So that's a thrill and a marvel, and, you know, an awful lot of self-congratulations was going on. But the most important thing is to reflect. You know, the guys are used to me saying, whatever you do, reflect. Reflect once, reflect twice, reflect three times. And then you gain the gold that are in the heroic acts or the action that you've just taken. And, you know, for me, it's a woolly time of year, you know. It's the end of term, you know, the kids are going. My son is finishing nursery and he's going to be with me, which is fantastic. But it means that I can't necessarily do the work or run Acorn to Woke as efficiently when Hector's around. So I, you know, it's looking at that and going, okay, his nanny has changed over the last 2 weeks. She's decided to go back into nursing, which is fantastic for her. But she's been with us since Hector was 10 months old. So you just look at it and go, it seems like a time of change. And it's really quite interesting. So you have to look at what things that you would like to change in your life. And I think for me, very much that whole Ignite Your Inner Fire weekend was about just going, you've done a fantastic job up to now. Where would you like your life to go? And for me, it's recommitting to the effect that I would like to, or the impact that I would like to have in the world. And, you know, some of those impossible tasks were just breaking some limiting beliefs around, will I have enough resources? And, you know, breaking the arrow for me was breaking that limiting belief of, do I and do Acorn to Oak have enough resources to take us to the next level so that we have an even more profound effect and being the change that we would like to see in the world right now. So when you reflect, you can pick out those gold pieces and you suddenly realize you've got a fistful of treasure. So again, allowing Matthew to have his time so he can tell you about some of the things that he's gained.
Yeah, I think it's easy to forget when we've done something, when we've achieved something or something big has happened in our life, we take it for just that moment and what happened there. But I mean, this week's been so interesting for me because it has been, I feel like a gold prospector within myself, because if you allow it in and you do reflect and keep going back to reflect on the situation, the universe will supply you with lots of situations to show you where you're not necessarily living that life, or with the changing the limiting beliefs, where the stories still are. So for me, I mean, it's been the most amazing week. Just realizing that I've done something which my mind tells me is impossible, but actually it's possible, because I think, or for me personally, there's so many parts of my life where it's kind of you won't fully just go for it and be that warrior. It's the weekend for me almost took me from a warrior to a warrior, because I'd always have these little thoughts of, oh, should I do that? Should I do that? And now it's just like, well, if you can break an arrow with your neck, if you can walk across fire, if you can walk across glass, like, we literally can do anything we choose to do. The only thing that stops us doing all the wonderful things that we want to do, and very much everybody pretty much, I think, has a bucket list, and it's a case of embracing them. It's all very well writing a bucket list, but start doing it, because I think when you actually take that step, like we did at the weekend, so much comes up for you sort of like the following week, and it's very much about, like Penny said, constantly reflecting and seeing that, actually I am holding myself back in certain ways. And it can be all sorts of things. So you could be telling yourself that you're not necessarily very good at something, or that sort of thing. Or you might find yourself asking or making statements like, oh, well, it's okay for them because, oh, they've got more courage than me, or they're an adventurer and that's just not me. And it's kind of like, we can be anybody that we like. If you see someone in your life that can do something, they're just reflecting back to you that you can do it as well. And I think that's really important to take on board. It's kind of like, we are all just as capable as anybody else. And no looks, no intelligence, or no physicality means that somebody's better or can do more things than you. And if you have those thoughts of, oh, it's all right for them because they're more physically fit, for one explanation, if you look at a marathon runner and think, oh, yeah, I've always wanted to run a marathon, but I've never been a very good runner. And it's kind of like, they weren't a very good runner before either, until they started practicing. So if you have these negative thoughts, flip them and say, oh, well, I'm not very good at running. Sod it. Chuck your trainers on and go for a run, because the feeling you get from doing that physical activity will blow your mind. And again, it will reaffirm that, oh, I can do this. And you may not be going Usain Bolt speed to start with, but we all have to start somewhere. So that's very much what it's been bringing up or highlighting in my life this week, is where I'm not necessarily sort of putting myself out there. And it's, yeah, been very much going within this week and sort of gold collecting, to make a decision on, right, where do I want to go next? When Penny and I first spoke about doing the radio show, the first thing that came up was, oh, well, I don't know if I'll be very good at that. And, oh, what if I'm always stuttering, or this, that, and the other? And you just think, well, you know what? If I stutter and I make mistakes, at least people are going to know I'm real. And just for me, really took the fear away, because we take ourselves way too seriously and we tell ourselves that we can't do things, when actually we hold the power. We can do anything we like. And very much like I say, if you see someone in your life doing it, or you see someone that's on TV, whether it's someone that's financially done very well or physically done very well, and you tell yourself you can't do it, the only reason you haven't done it yet is because you haven't tried, because you've been too busy telling yourself you can't do it.
So absolutely, do it.
Embrace that side of yourself, because there's gold in there to be found, and we all have it. We're all just as capable as one another.
Well, it's real interesting, because as you've all heard before, I have a 2.5-year-old son, and for his two-year birthday, his grandpa and his great uncle bought him a trampoline. So he's had it I think he got it in May time, and from May until today, I had resisted getting on it, because, as you've heard me said, I'm not a small lady, And, you know, I'm of a certain age, and actually, you know, it's something that his dad loves to do with him, and they have a great time on the trampoline. And today I got onto the trampoline, went through the net, and actually had such a blast with my son. Bouncing up and down. At first I was just on my bum, and then I was standing up, and then we were chasing around on the trampoline and everything else. And I went, yeah, purely for me was, why am I holding myself back? If I can break an arrow with my neck, I can definitely sort out a trampoline. So, you know, but it's amazing how many different thoughts come into your mind as you're bouncing up and down. Will this contraption hold the weight of me and my son bouncing up and down? And of course it did. It was just, it was just an example of how I had been limiting my own joy. And, you know, why would you limit your own joy? I couldn't believe it. And actually, my husband came back and watched us and just looked at me and said, it was really good to see you enjoying it. He says, yeah, and obviously he'd noticed that I hadn't been near it until today. And wow, and you just go, there's another breakthrough. Tick, got the T-shirt, got the baseball bat, and I knocked it out of the park. And it is, I think for me, it was just reminding myself, or the weekend reminded me that, you know, I've, you know, because of my physicality, because I'm a larger lady, I've limited things because, it's one of those things that you have in your head of, it's a can't, yeah, and it's not a can't for me. It's actually, you know, one of the things that Hector has taught me is I can run pretty well now, which I have to. And your mum's instinct kicks in when you see him hurtling towards a road and there's traffic on it. So these things, you just have to look and thank the universe for bringing you things that are stretching your consciousness and stretching, you know, the stories that you have had in your rational mind. And it was, as Matthew was saying, what was really lovely for the whole group was that we had two ladies who were not part of Acorn to Oak, Sam and Jill, joining the group under Kelly's and Nicola's tuition to do these three impossible tasks. And it, as Matthew was saying, it was like a couple more of the soul group came in, and it was how well everything gelled. And, you know, since then they've been, you know, they've joined the Acorn to Oak community, and we've been sharing pictures and sharing stories and insights. And, you know, it's a really nice to have been able to meet extra people who are so like-minded. And, you know, that's one of the things that, you know, when we're on a spiritual journey, when we're, you know, we're slightly more universally aware than the general public, it's so nice to meet people who are like-minded and who understand why we like to challenge ourselves sometimes, and why we like to stretch our consciousness. Because, you know, when we stretch our consciousness, we're able to perceive the bigger picture with more clarity, and understand that we are, you know, we are a human family, and actually we have everybody's highest will and good in our hearts. And when other people hurt, we hurt because we're connected, you know, because ultimately there's only one of us here. And it reminded me of something I was reading. I was listening to a radio show in the UK, and So one of the announcers came off on the radio, and I just loved this this take on it. He said, you know, because of Brexit and the economical challenges that we're facing right now, we hate to tell you, but they've turned the light off at the end of the tunnel. And I just roared with laughter. I thought that was hilarious. But it's so true, you know, so true that an awful lot of us want to limit our life experiences because we feel it's safe. Yet, you know, again, I'm talking about Kelly and Nicola showing us with enormous grace that they had our safety in their hearts. And we didn't have to worry about that. We all felt incredibly safe just handing that responsibility to two wonderful, graceful facilitators. And to me, that also was a very inspiring thing to be shown and also to be part of. You know, we have these thoughts in our heads that if we extend ourselves in trust and love, that someone is going to rip us off. Somebody is going to hurt us. Somebody is going to, you know, think we're weak. And actually, you know, those are our thoughts about ourselves, not about others. And when we really truly get to that, and we can take an empowered breath in and reconnect with that higher self, or, you know, that spiritual mind, or dare I say it, soul, we realize we're indestructible. And actually, you know, that's where I got to when I was just about to break the arrow with my neck, was, mate, if God wants to take me home whilst I'm doing this, I'm okay with that. And moved forward with determination. And, you know, sometimes we forget that, you know, the higher centers, you know, the from our heart, we've got the higher centers or the higher chakras, which is the throat chakra, which is the third eye, and which is the crown. And the first one of those is divine, you know, aligning our will with the divine, which is at throat chakra. And, you know, one of the things is we pay too much attention to what we want, not necessarily what the divine is guiding us to. So anyway, we're coming up for a break and we'll see you on the other side.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. Om Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single Om Times endeavor. Host your show with Om Times Radio Network.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from new thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, Why not make a date to come play with me in the Field of Possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
We are talking about your life. Ever wonder, is this as good as it gets? No, it could be so much better. At Acorn to Oak, we know you are seeking more happiness, joy, unconditional love, financial freedom, passion, and purpose. Find your unique mojo and live an extraordinary life. Want to know more? Contact us at our website, acorntooak.org.uk.
Long ago, you wouldn't think of galloping on a horse while doing calligraphy, and you wouldn't have attempted to ride your bike while typing a letter. Yet you think you can safely operate a multi-ton vehicle while texting? Behind the wheel is no place to multitask. If you want to BRB, drive now and text later. Lives depend on it.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
So, do you want to start it off, Matthew?
Yep, no worries. So, welcome back. Penny, when Penny was talking about the element of safety, when Kelly and Nicola were talking to us beforehand, what really, really resonated with me and really made me comfortable with it was Nicola was telling a lot of stories around indigenous tribes and some of their ceremonies. So a lot of some of the indigenous tribes would, I think it was sort of walking into your manhood or adulthood, that sort of style of things, where the young children of the tribe will walk across hot coals to bring themselves into adulthood. And it was some of these stories that made me realise then, and some of the explanations, that there's so much that we have forgotten. And some of these indigenous tribes and the Aboriginal tribes can show us from their wisdom of some of the skills that we've forgotten about, and some of the simplicity that we've forgotten about. With the complicated world that we've created complicated problems and complications within our own minds, because there's so much to think about and so much to consider. Whereas, like we always say, if you tune into your heart and go into your heart and ask yourself how you feel about a situation rather than what you think, it really helps you connect with that pureness and that, I call it like a pure knowledge, which very much the Aboriginals and a lot of the indigenous tribes had. I know there was a story about, I think it was the Inuits, who would walk across hot lava. The stories blow your mind, because you just think, wow, that's incredible that they can do that. And then, of course, you catch yourself and you think, well, if they can do it, I can do it. And then it put my mind into where at what point did we get completely lost? And it's very much been over evolution, I would probably say, in the last few hundred years. We just seem to have sort of, we don't have the confidence and the love and the pureness that people, for want of a better word, they would tell you they have everything, and they're quite right, but you look at people that are living in the jungle and they don't seem to have a lot, but actually they have everything. And their belief system and their core beliefs are so solid compared to ours. And so, again, that's been rattling around my mind all week, and just thinking about the sort of the possibilities. Doing something like that when you're younger can bring to you, because you have ultimate confidence and ultimate peace within self. Because you know you can do something, and you don't give the, they just don't have the built up thought forms that we have, a lot of which could be from what you were told at school, what you see on social media, and all sorts of sort of outside influences as well, because it only takes a little outside influence for you to start believing something. something I get quite passionate about is, and it's actually a pet hate of mine. We had an advert on the radio going back probably 3 or 4 years, and the advert started, 1 in 3 people are going to get cancer. And automatically, people that are listening to the radio will take that on board and believe that 1 in 3 people get cancer. Now, that in my mind is completely untrue. But what really wound me up this year is the advert changed. And it was, it starts again, 1 in 2 people will get cancer. And I thought, it's destroying people's thought, or creating thought forms for people. Because if you imagine you're driving your 2 kids to school and they're sitting in the back of the car and they hear that advert, can you imagine them looking at each other and thinking, well, which one of us will it be? And that's how damaging some of the things that we hear and see within the media can be. Because our brains automatically say, oh, well, that might happen. And we all know that if you, whatever you can manifest something, whether it's good or bad. And personally, I think a lot of these pathologies and a lot of the diseases are manifested through fear.
Absolutely.
Worrying is like praying for what you don't want.
Absolutely.
So why would you worry about something you haven't got and manifest it within your life? So yeah, just to get that little rant out, because I find it so frustrating that we put up with this stuff on social media, rather than just speaking the truth and like cutting the crap, say it how it is. Penny's got doing a website, The Truth Is, and it's saying it for how it is. It's cutting out all the rubbish that we've been told, all the things that we've been told we can and can't do, and actually making our own decisions and saying, well, thank you very much, that's really interesting information, but actually I'm going to do what I feel is right for me. And I think we're all so used to taking on information as sort of warnings and cautions for this, for health and safety and that sort of thing. But it's like we've gone crazy with it. So for me,
it's the modern insanity.
Some of the people I speak to on a daily basis, and certainly clients, when you hear some of their thought forms that are created because one person that they respected told them that once, and they believed them.
They heard, you know, children heard adults discussing it, and they take it on board as a truth. And, you know, it's really interesting. About 5 years ago, maybe 5 or 6 years ago, I had a fantastic experience of working with 2 indigenous shamans from the Amazon in Peru. And they basically, I picked them up in my car and was driving them around the M25 in the UK. And the M25 is like the orbital road around London. So it's 4 lanes each way. It's a very, very busy road. You get people doing astonishing driving, like most places. And they were sitting in the back and basically telling me that until they'd come to Europe, they didn't really understand this word stress. But having been, this was the second car drive they had ever been on, after the second one, they just turned around to us and said, okay, we're getting it now. We're beginning to understand the concept of stress. No, why are these people rushing from A to B? Do they not realize that a journey just takes whatever time it takes and you need to relax into it? And I just sat, I was overawed with some of the things they were sharing me on that journey. And it was just really getting their mindset and realizing that actually, you know, it's hot and humid in the Amazon, and they just take their time. And nobody gets stressed about it. Nobody has an agenda. Nobody lies. Nobody steals. You know, none of this stuff goes on. Therefore, they feel 100% safe all the time. And, you know, even for me, I looked at that and just went, wow, that's an amazing space to be in. Just when you can hear everything quieting down in your mind, you know, and if we took a breath together, it'd be just like a, and chill. And, you know, because our minds are so busy and so worried about where the next buck is coming from, where the next pound is coming from, you know, all of the bills, the debts, the this, the that, and how are we going to pay the mortgage, and all of this stuff that's churning around in our heads, no wonder we can't feel the silence. No wonder we cannot celebrate the impossible things that we do every day. It doesn't need to be as dramatic as the three things that we took on board because it was on our bucket list. And as Matthew explained, he didn't even know one of them was going to come up. But, you know, it was just like, you know, we look at it. And we're doing the impossible most days. We just don't allow ourselves to celebrate the fact. Mm. And, you know, one of the things that we've come up with Acorn to Oak is, you know, hey, we do seven miracles before coffee.
Yeah, I think that's what was so good for the on sort of the course side of things is, obviously, we arrived a day earlier than before the firewalk, and we were very much going through what we wanted to get from the weekend, and obviously going in on a deep emotional level as well as working on a mental academic level. So it's looking at what the feelings are, and then what the thought forms are related to those feelings, and we gain so much. And that's what I love about the retreats is somebody else can be talking and going through a process around their stuff, and you can actually either relate to it, or something they say just hits a chord within you, which then encourages you to dig in and find out what that is. And you all get such huge personal growth from it. It's just such a dynamic experience, and I'm so glad we had that opportunity to do that first, because, like I say, I feel like a gold prospector at the moment. It's just little R moments, and when we say an R moment, we use Breath for Life, which is the most dynamic subconscious connected breath work out there, and it really does allow you to get in and really focus on the emotions and deal with them and realize who you are and what you're capable of, and that it's only the past and things like that that people have said that have made you change that. When we're children, we are fearless in many ways, and yes, we have to learn a little bit of health and safety and that sort of thing, and that's part of what parenting is, but it's also also standing back and letting them discover it for themselves, because why would you want to squash them and tell them, oh, don't do that, don't do this. It's I know Penny tells a story about, was it Johnny No, the little kid, yeah, that thought his name was Johnny No because he was told no so many times, and that comes in, and we do it with ourselves as well. So yeah, the retreat was just absolutely mind blowing on so many levels, and I'm still reflecting on it now, and I will be continuing to reflect, because each time you go in and you reflect on it, you get more gold, and you get more understanding.
It's like picking up little nuggets of absolute pure gold. And you know, for me, if I could say to you something inspiring as we're coming up towards the top of the hour, is, you know, when you do have an experience, reflect and reflect again, because there's many different layers of where those gold deposits are. And, you know, in allowing yourself time, you know, maybe it's just sitting when you're sitting in the bath or having a shower, and you just allow your mind to say, you know, okay, so where is the gold for me right now? And just asking yourself those questions, because people say, well, you know, how do you do this? How do you spiritually grow? And what we need to learn to do is to ask ourselves really good questions. You know, that's what actually stretches our consciousness, enable, you know, so that we're able to pick up those nuggets of gold. You know, I love the great, you know, marketing strategy of pick the low fruit. Well, you know, for me, I'm telling you, pick up the nuggets that are on the ground first, and bring those insights into self, which then allows you to expand your consciousness and realize that the conscious mind is only 10%. So, you know, when we fill up that conscious mind, we have to suppress stuff in order to keep it in our energy fields. And that's when we suppress stuff into the subconscious. So enjoy your week. I hope you have a great weekend, and we'll see you next Thursday. Take care of yourselves.
You will take care, and we'll see you next week. Thank you for listening.